Hey guys, my name's Brandon. I'm here with Megan and Madison, and we are doing this week's Weekly Reflections. The reading is coming from Daily Reflections, August the 2nd. We became willing. At the moment, we are trying to put our lives in order, but this is not the end in itself. Alcoholics Anonymous, page 77. How easily I can become misdirected in approaching the eighth step. I wish to be free, somehow transformed by my sixth and seventh step work. Now, more than ever, I'm vulnerable to my own self-interest and hidden agenda. I am careful to remember that self-satisfaction, which sometimes comes through the spoken forgiveness to those I have harmed, is not my true objective. I become willing to make amends, knowing that through that process, I am mended and made it fit to move forward, to know and desire God's will for me.
I heard in a meeting, someone had said, when we harm others, we take away a part of their spirit, right? So when we make an amends, we get to give that spirit, that part of them back. They don't necessarily ever get back unless we do our part. This is a heavy topic. Amends is a heavy topic because it's so much controversy and it's, well, is this how you do it? Is this how you do it? Is this how the big book should be interpreted? Or is it this way? What are your motives? Da 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 da. I mean, getting a seasoned sponsor for amends, I is the road that I go down.
Most definitely. I mean, it is a really heavy topic, and it leaves a lot for discussion. But I don't necessarily know it. The big book doesn't really leave anything open for interpretation as far as how we should perform the eighth and ninth step. It gives clear cut directions. Because am I making this amends so that I can feel better, or so that that person can actually be freed from the harm that I, you know, did to them? I remember it says when it's talking about the eighth step that we go to this person and we don't talk about any harm that they may have done to us. We strictly just talk about what we've done to them and then try to make it right. Ask whatever we can do to make it right. It even talks about the mind frame that we should go with in going into making these amends. It's been said that this step separates the men from the boys and the girls from the women. I've known plenty of people to go back out on their eighth step, and whether or not they actually went out because of getting to this step, or maybe it was just the feelings that were associated with bringing up all of these old behaviors, you know, and this harm that they did, and then they didn't know how to handle those emotions, and so they drank again. They were without a solution.
And let me reinterpret what I was saying. The big book was written what year?
1935.
Yeah.
That's a long time ago. Okay. So the way that they talk is not necessarily like modern day drug addicts. I know for me, when I first read it, I'm like, huh? What? What are they talking about? Are they telling me to do it or not to do it? You know what I mean? And as far as like past relationships and I mean, like, intimate relationships.
Yeah.
The wording can be confusing. Hence why I say a seasoned sponsor, or somebody who has a seasoned sponsor that's sponsoring you, that knows what is going on and what's actually being said, right?
Yeah. We were on a little spiritual retreat a while back, and we went through all of the steps again, but... 8 and 9 is very specific. It's another one that even with the language being what it is, they're very precise about making that list and then how we actually go about making those amends. And which is good for me because I like rules. I like a procedure. I want a protocol. I want you to give me guidelines. So then I know exactly what to do. You know, I need a recipe for sobriety. And 8 and 9 is very specific like that. You have to, like you said, you have to check your motives. You check your motives at the door. This is not to make me feel better. This is not to help alleviate any of that guilt or stress or shame or any of that crap that I feel because of what I've done. This is what I owe those people and those places It's considered kind of the ultimate, like, cleaning your side of the street. It's a very simple process with the way it's laid out. You ask permission. You ask permission. I can't even make an amends if you don't want me to. So that means you can't go and, like, shove that down someone's throat.
By the way, I have an amends to make to you.
You don't attack people with amends.
Right,
you don't
right.
do it. Because if you're doing that, guaranteed, you're forcing it, and guaranteed it's for you, not for them.
Yeah.
That's how you know. That's how you can differentiate right there. Now, if they say, yeah, you should know going in, just like you said, what have I done here? Not anything that you ever did to me or any way that I ever felt. This is strictly about my side of the street, where I was wrong, what I have done, and that's it. And then I was told to give a pause.
Well, what do you do on
not,
the other
not
side
just a
that?
Pause, like a really long, like a 20-second pause. And I don't know about everyone else, addict-wise, 20 seconds is forever to sit in silence. I did a mental counter in my head, because when you ask, when you put all that out there and then you say, is there anything that I have left out? And you allow for them to think about that. And you allow for someone else to tell you how they may have felt wronged. There is so much freedom that comes in letting go of that, because everything I thought I knew before I made these amends, everything I thought, I don't know, it's so hard to explain. You don't know how you make another person feel until you allow them the ability to tell you face to face, this is how I felt, this is how you hurt me. And then, like, the cap to that is, what can I do to make that right today? And I've been told, and I've gotten a lot of support that was just like, I just want you to be okay. You keep doing what you're doing. You know, you being sober is all anybody ever wanted. I never knew that when I was using. I never thought things could change so drastically just by changing that one factor. And now I have a lot of cheerleaders, man, and people that I've had to be open and honest with, and now that fear is gone. That fear is gone. I don't have to hide anything in my life. So there's a lot of freedom, I think, that comes, I know, that comes with the eighth and ninth step, with the ninth step especially. That's where more freedom was for me than probably any of the other steps, I think.
So it's really nice to hear you guys talk about, like, how you laid it out. This is how you do it.
Yeah.
I so often come across people that don't, and I just have to take a step back, okay? I have to take a step back and not be like, you're not doing the amends right, or da, 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 you know? But that's what's going through my head, and I'm, like, trying to calm myself down, but it's nice to hear, this is how you do it. This is how it is supposed to be done. It's very structured.
There are things that are left up to interpretation, and I think that's where you do need the guidance of a seasoned sponsor, because I remember when
Absolutely.
I got to my eighth step, there were people that I had written down, and my sponsor looked over and he was like, yeah, you don't owe these people an amends. you know what I mean?
Right.
I was so delusional and so probably ridden with guilt. If I can think back, I was
of
ridden
course.
With guilt about every bad thing that I had done.
Yeah.
You know, I just started putting people down.
Right.
You know,
and
I was
you
putting...
should. That's, it's part of the...
And that's a humbling experience in and of
yeah.
itself. But then in the same essence, it's a matter of, okay, I don't owe these people an amends. I was thinking the wrong way. You know, my sponsor told me that anyone that I thought that I wronged when I was in active addiction, if they were using with me, if they were drinking and using with me, they raised their hands, they were willing participants, I don't owe them anything.
Right.
You know, and I wouldn't say that goes as far as, you know, murder or,
it's
you know,
not black and white. Right.
You know what I mean? It's definitely
right.
not black and white, but there are certain, a lot
yeah.
of things that we just do as addicts and alcoholics to each other, and that's just collateral damage.
Yeah.
You know?
This
is a step that we have to, I don't even say complete, because I know I'll be making amends for the rest of my life.
As long as I'm living,
You know, and I got the big ones out of the way my first year, the really big ones out of the way, and I've allowed the idea that God will present the rest of the ones to me as needed. You know, I'll be put in situations. You know, I just, over the weekend, I went back to Texas I'm originally from Texas, and I got to go and be a part of my cousin's wedding. And I heard the day of the wedding that my brother was officiating the wedding. And I owed him a lot of amends. And I was not necessarily ready to make them, and I started freaking out. And I drive, the wedding's on about a 35-acre plot. And I drive out there. I'm late to the rehearsal. I drive out there, and I see a car that I think was his. I see this guy who's standing there, at the rehearsal area that looks just like him. So I just pull in. I get ready. I'm like, okay, I'm going to go make these amends. And I walk over there, and as I get closer, I realize it's not him. Huh. And just it was weird how this relief just washed over me. But at the same time, it reaffirmed that God will present these opportunities as they're needed, and it wasn't the right time for me to make that amend.
Right.
But I was ready.
But you're ready.
And
the willingness
I felt
is
so
there.
Much better, and I felt more spiritually fit moving forward throughout that day. It goes back to what it says. I become willing to make the amends, knowing that through this process, I amend and made fit to move forward to know and desire God's will for me. Mm-hmm. Regardless of if I wanted to make those amends, I was going to do it anyway because I knew it was God's will. But then, obviously, at the time, it wasn't God's will.
Right.
You know, it was God's will for me to be willing to make that amends, but I didn't have to do it at that time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've heard anything today that strikes a chord with any of you. We want to thank you guys for being with us. If you did hear something that strikes a chord with you, you can always reach out to us. Go to detox2rehab.com. There's an addiction hotline there if you're seeking help for your family or your friends. There's a lot of resources on there. We want to, Megan, we want to thank you for being with us.
Absolutely.
Madison. And we also want to thank Stone Valley Recovery for allowing us to use their facilities. They've been very gracious in that. And you can always join us next week for more fun stuff.